where two or more are gathered. Two or more friends, or family, or strangers. Where two or more are gathered. Gathered at church, in the car, at the grocery store, online. Where two or more are gathered, God is there. And so God is here, now, in this place. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick and the broader community, you can visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get lots of information. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are, in every way, an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions, because we believe God is too, and that's who God calls us to be. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the Big D in the playground this morning. Always happy to have company there. We've got lovingly staffed nursery care upstairs, and we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. Really, someday I am going to lead worship from the playground, so just be ready for that. This is our last week for godly play. The rest of the summer, it will be intergenerational worship, so this is your last shot at godly play this morning. We gather this morning acknowledging the land we are on, the rocks and waters of this land, the plants and animals of this land, the air we share. We also acknowledge the original people of this land, including the Nipmuc, Pawtucket, and Massachusetts, as well as the legacy of the Natick Praying Indians, and all those who have walked on this land before us, as well as our own ancestors. We remember ourselves as part of a web extending back in time, forward in time, and in every direction in time. All right, a few more key announcements coming up this morning. You might remember, for those of you who've been around a while, that this church underwent, you know, a capital campaign and a renovation. Is that familiar to anybody? To some of you, it's particularly familiar because this room is air-conditioned this morning, something that wasn't possible beforehand. And for those of you at home, you're getting, like, better tech all the time because of that capital campaign. Well, we want to share that with the community, right?
Yes.
So we have been talking about how we might do so. We have tentatively scheduled a concert for October 5th. It will be a collection of all sorts of music and presentations. And there are lots of people, lots of lay leaders who have already been working on this. We do need a project manager for the task. You don't have to know anything about music or concerts. You just have to be someone who's willing to boss people around. And the good thing is, October 6th, it's done. So if you would be at all interested, again, people on site and online, see me and we'll tell you more. I've got a vacation coming up, so I'll be gone the next two Sundays, but I am still your contact for emergency pastoral care, so you can reach me on my cell or on email. Now, we've had a little bit of hubbub around here this morning, as well as in downtown Natick. Last night, several churches were vandalized. I'm glad to say none of our buildings were permanently damaged. However, all of the things that declare us to be open and affirming were removed and were replaced with other content. If you're on site in the last few minutes, you don't see this because we've already had the police here and we've been able to take down everything that was left, and we've actually been able to put up most of the things that had been removed. But we know this is why we put those signs up, to consistently declare that we are open and affirming. We are aware that for some people, especially the message was very clear that this was targeting our GLBTQIA siblings and selves. We are very clear that they are beloved by God just as they are, and we will stand beside them, and we will continue to proclaim that loudly and with joy. So we'll be looking probably for ways to make sure the broader community knows that we're just gonna keep putting up signs, putting up banners, and more than that, we're gonna keep acting in the world out of this conviction that our GLBTQIA siblings and selves are beautiful and beloved just as they are. If you have thoughts about that and ways you wanna help with that or ideas, let me know. We also know that for some of us in this room, online, and in this broader community, this feels personal and it feels like a personal attack. And so I want you to know, in particular, even though I'm on vacation for the next 2 weeks, this is an urgent pastoral issue. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me if this is feeling like it particularly impacts you in any way. That's what I'm here for. And so it is more important than ever that we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning. I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, in particular in light of what we've just shared. We know we get that trauma response going. Our hearts start racing, our blood starts flowing, and we start to feel extra anxious. God is here. That's how this service started. So we can settle ourselves, lower our shoulders, deepen our breath, and smile, knowing we are God's beloved. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask. And once he answered, "I am the light, and the light dwells within you." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning, I'm Sue.
Good morning. Good
morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Come as you are." Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let's worship together.
Come as you are.
So, oops, two pages. Now we have our opening hymn. It's "Praise to the Living God." You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Our centering prayer begins with just a little bit of silence. In the quiet, picture yourself at a table surrounded by the people who make you feel cared for, accepted, beloved. Hold on to what it feels like to sit at that table. Let us pray. God of our hopes and dreams, we are empty and long to be filled. We are hungry and long to be fed. We are lost and long to be found. Gather us into your love, pick up the pieces of our lives, call us to fill our very beings with your life-giving love. Hear us as we pray words Jesus gave to us. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So friends, for somebody today, you will be the face of God, the hands of God, the voice of God, the compassion of God, the peace of God. God is working through you in the world. What a responsibility and what a joy. So let's turn to each other on site and online and let that God light shine. And then we'll sing our song of celebration. So God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Can you all hear me okay from this mic? Are we all right? Excellent. Great.
Okay. Okay, so the scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. We're going to be doing a little duet. So this summer, our godly play gatherings are focusing on some of Jesus' parables, old, important, and mysterious stories. And so Reverend Cindy is focusing on parables too. Today we'll hear the parable of the great banquet.
So back a few months ago, when Sarah Lynn and I were planning this summer of parables, I told her, go with whatever parables work well in godly play. I'm fine with all of them. Yeah, next time I will be way more discerning. Because today's parable is a pain, at least for preachers. I totally get why kids would like it. There's drama and rudeness and anger. All of that is good fodder for I wonder questions that we use in godly play. I wonder why this person acted this way. I wonder how these people felt. But it really creates a problem for one of the key I wonder questions behind every sermon. I wonder what this tells us about God.
Today's parable is known as the Great Banquet in Godly Play and many parables, but it's not great as in the sense of awesome. And by the way, there is a worse version of this parable in the Gospel according to Matthew that even Godly Play won't touch. So you at this point, you might feel like I'm stalling, but I think we need some context here. So Jesus tells the parable of the Great Banquet in the middle of an actual dinner party. Jesus has been invited to eat the special Sabbath meal at the house of a religious leader. So picture like the strictest Sunday school teacher ever has invited you to Sunday dinner at their house. Exactly. This meal is a minefield. So there's a guy in the room with terrible swelling, like from congestive heart failure, and Jesus heals him, which is a gray area on the Sabbath, whether or not you can heal people. Then Jesus notices that the guests at the dinner are jockeying for places of honor at the table. I'm guessing that means they were all seeing who would get to sit beside the host or close to the dessert table or whatever was considered a seat of honor at that time. And they were eating. That's right, they were eating. Jesus, who never misses an opportunity to give a sermon, points this out and challenges them all to be humble. Then Jesus takes it one step further, and Jesus challenges the very guest list of the dinner. Jesus tells people they shouldn't focus on guests who can give them something in return, like relatives and friends and rich people, but they should invite those who are most in need, who can't offer anything in return. Now, it's after all of that that our passage begins. A dinner guest responds to everything that Jesus has said with one of the most misleading verses in Scripture. This is what the person says. This is Luke chapter 14, verse 15.
So one of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God."
Doesn't that sound good? Like the guest has really understood what Jesus was getting at, that someday we will all be eating together in the world as God intended to be. Sadly, no. The guest was actually heckling Jesus. He was challenging him with one like sweet-sounding sentence. The guest represented a view that still exists to this day, that only the blessed people, the good people, the right people will feast with God in the kingdom, in the world, the way that it's finally intended to be. So, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God doesn't mean, you're so right, Jesus, we will all be blessed to eat together in God's kingdom. Instead, it's a declaration that you can tell us to invite whoever you want to parties now, but we know how God works. And it's only the elect, that's me and my friends, by the way, who will gather around God's table. That comment, I think that comment ticks Jesus off. And rather than like taking a deep breath or going for a little walk, grumpy Jesus launches into a grumpy parable. So now, I know, you've only heard one verse of this passage so far, but hold all of that in your mind as Sue shares with you the parable of the Great Banquet.
So one of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.'"
So problem number one for preachers. Jesus brings a slave into the parable without commenting on the injustice of one human owning another.
But the guests, all alike, began to make excuses.
So now in the parable, I'm supposed to feel really bad for the host because all of his guests are blowing him off. But pay attention to the type of excuses they make.
So the first said to him, "I have bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my apologies."
Yeah, that is totally lame. Nobody buys a piece of land without going to see it first. They didn't have Zillow in order to not go see it. So Jesus' audience would have immediately understood this as a flimsy excuse. Maybe they'd notice that the guest reneged on his RSVP to deal with a shopping issue, but probably not. Okay, that's one guest down.
Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my apologies.
So it's another terrible excuse. It's like saying, I just bought a car, so now I'm going to take it for a test drive. Jesus' audience knew nobody would buy all those oxen, 5 yoke of oxen, that's 10 oxen, without knowing what shape they're in. So notice excuse number 2 is also about buying something. Everything comes in threes, so we know there's going to be one more.
Another said, I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.
I know what you're thinking. Finally, an excuse that isn't economic. The guest just wants to have some quality time with their new spouse. Please. For better or worse, marriage in Jesus' time was largely an economic arrangement. The guest has just bought a wife. 3 guests, 3 excuses, all sort of humble brags about how busy they are due to their possessions. I think they would have been boring guests, but that's not the point of Jesus' parable.
So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.
So the host says to the slave, go out and bring all these people in. We might like to think of this as a sort of epiphany for the host of the party. He realizes that all his friends are jerks and decides to surround himself with interesting people who have made it through a lot of challenges and who would love a good hot meal. It's not quite. And notice he's still bossing the slave around, but the slave goes out to the streets and the lanes and brings in everyone he can find.
And the slave said, sir, what you ordered has been done and there is still room.
And then the host said, oh, my friend, thank you so much. You have been such a huge help in the midst of a system of injustice that slavery is. Come join me at this dinner party, and we will come up with a work arrangement to pay you a living wage. That's not what it says, Sue, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Here's what it says. Then the master said to the slave, go out into the roads and lanes and compel the people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.
Not a fan of the word compel. The Greek word implies the use of force to get someone to do what you want them to do. So now the slave has to go out and drag people into the dinner until all the seats are filled. Sounds to me like the host's ego is a little bruised and everybody is gonna suffer because of it. This is not a dinner party I would want to go to. What the heck does Jesus want me to do with this parable?
Sorry. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to wrestle with them.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages, especially any of you who happen to be watching from the nursery. Let's all say good morning to everybody in the nursery. Good morning, nursery. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Sometimes when I think I lost something, I don't know where it is, and I look all around my house, and I don't know where it is. I do not want to be scared, because when I go to my room, and Daddy tells me at nighttime, I be like, monsters!
No. Declan, for those of you online who haven't heard Declan's sermon, one of the things that he was saying is that he also says he doesn't know when he can't find something, even though he looks all around the house. How many of us have felt that, right? And it's even harder when you're trying to find something in your own mind, like an idea or a thought or a dream. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about today that we don't know. And I gotta tell you, I don't know how Declan feels, but I used to hate those words altogether. I don't know. I used to hate them. I hated not knowing things and not having the answer. I thought it meant that I was stupid or that I was messing up if I had to say, I don't know. And I still feel like that sometimes. Anybody else? Anybody else hate saying I don't know? Yeah, we got some feelings. Some people in the back are very comfortable not knowing things. Excellent. Now, over the years, though, I have learned that those words are exciting and freeing. I don't have to be an expert on everything. I can rely on other people. I don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes there aren't answers. I don't have to explain everything. We can figure things out together. So our scripture reading this morning filled my brain with a whole bunch of I don't knows. I don't know why the church saved this story in the Bible. I don't know why Jesus told this story, if he did. I don't know what I'm supposed to say about this story or how it calls us to live. Now, once that would have scared me, having to say, I don't know. But now, I can use that as a chance to tell you that it's okay not to know, and there are things we might never know, but thinking about them is still fun and helpful and important. Of course, you already know all that, because that's what godly play is all about. It's about not having the answers, not forcing answers on you, but inviting you all to wonder, right? Godly play pretty much stops at grade 3 at FCC Natick, but I hope the wondering never does. So as our youngest parishioners get ready to leave for godly play, let us bless their wondering together. We'll get our blessing hands ready, blessing our young people on their last day of godly play this summer. God of blessing, bless these beautiful kids. Bless all their ideas and bless especially their questions. May they never wonder if you love them. May they feel your love through ours. Amen. Amen. You guys gonna go off to God's So our second reading this morning, let me just admit to you, I saw it on Facebook, and then I saw it on Facebook again and again, so you might have already seen this from this past week, or I might just exist in a very unique little corner of Facebook, but it feels, it already fit with our theme today, and then I just love it even more, especially considering what we experienced at our physical plant overnight. It's called Christianity Can Be Confusing by Dan Sadler. Christianity can be confusing, but the way of Jesus was pretty clear. Move toward the poor, empower the woman, create space at the table, throw parties, widen the family boundaries, poke holes in oppressive systems, don't retaliate with violence, forgive your enemy, don't store up wealth. Be present with people. Heal. Announce. Push back the darkness. The kingdom of God is near. Amen. So pretend the parable continued. The next day, the village was all abuzz about the great banquet, how the invited guests, people of means and power, had dared to ditch the host at the last minute. How the host had filled the seats around the table with the poor and injured, people who were usually shunned. And how the host had sent out their slave to literally drag in guests until the seats around the table were full. A poor widow was one of the substitute guests who asked, and she was asked about the whole thing. Wasn't she resentful at being a stand-in for the rude rich? And she said to those who would listen, I got to bathe my hands and face. I sat on the softest of chairs. I was offered more food than I usually see in a year, and music played that equally fed my soul. So no, I'm not resentful about last night's great banquet. I'm resentful about all the other banquets that have left me out in the cold. All week,
I wrestled with irritation at this parable. Irritated at what it might make people think about God. That God is some pushy benefactor. That God will force people to go to the great banquet of belief. That God will be judgy and angry toward anybody saying no thanks to a relationship with God. Somehow it finally occurred to me that I was thinking just like someone who would ditch a banquet invite at the last minute. I was approaching the story from a position of abundance and power. And I still don't know what the heck the parable means or why Jesus told it, but I got a sort of sideways glimpse of what might be the parable's good news. People who needed to eat were fed. People who needed to belong were welcomed at the table. People who were on the outside were brought in. Rules were broken, boundaries were swept away, expectations turned upside down. And that's what happens when the kingdom of God comes near. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? I have one. Oh, yeah, Taylor.
Clementine, my niece, we prayed for last week. She's back home. Yay. She's much better. She has her abscess drained, and it's on some antibiotics still, but hopefully we're going to still be getting on a plane to come see us next week.
Yay! So Clementine, 2 years old, was spending time in the hospital, having a really hard time, not just with the medical care, but just with the sort of trauma of being a little kid in a big hospital. She is home now. She's on antibiotics. She's doing better. And hopefully she's still on schedule to come visit for a couple weeks next week. That would be awesome. Lane, do you have any joys over there? I have one. Pam W. is not here this morning because she's kayaking, but we've been praying for Ulrika's brother Peter, and who had surgery this past week, and it went well. At last report, he was up walking around and out of ICU, and so really it went, like, this was a serious and complicated surgery, so that is like the best news we could hope for. We were also holding his wife in prayer because she was pretty stressed out about it all, and she is also like doing okay. So prayers for all of them. Yeah, Jeff.
Can I just come up there and say my joy?
Sure, you can come up here and say your joy. Now, wait, I just want you to know, it's only because I already know what he's going to say. So it's otherwise, I would not let somebody do this.
I might say something else now.
No, mainly because
I'm in the front row and it makes me very uncomfortable. I can't see people behind me. Okay, so the August delegation is leaving for Guatemala on Tuesday. And we are bringing down 102 partner family letters. There's around 200 people that live, families that live in the community. So about half of, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say We have partner family relationships with about 50% of the community, which is pretty impressive if you think about it. Woo! But we had one long-standing family that's been in the community forever. I've known them for decades. They actually wrote us this past February and said, we're looking for a new partner family because sometimes people pass away and age out. Over 30 years of the partnership, you know, families kind of go on. I've been writing to my family for around 30 years. Anyways, so I got a letter from them saying, hey, we're really looking to write to somebody. And now we have, as of this morning, a new partner family relationship over here. And so I was very happy to see that Cindy is going to be writing to the Kenia Botan family. And so that's my celebration.
So this is something I've been wanting to do since I heard about the partner family aspect. So prayers for Jenna and all of those who are traveling to Guatemala. Prayers for all of those that we have this relationship with in Guatemala. And for all of you, did everybody get their partner letters in?
Yes.
Oh, prayers for people meeting that deadline. That is huge.
100%,
except for me, which I will do that today. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Lorraine.
I have concern for my neighbor at my building, Debbie. She lost her 25-year-old parrot this week. And you may not think that's a concern, but this is her family.
Yeah. We are offering prayers of gratitude for Harry's life. This is the parrot that has lived with Debbie, one of Lorraine's neighbors, and has been a presence in her life for 25 years, as well as a presence in the community. So Debbie has lost, like Lorraine said, part of her family, also her roommate, you know, and so all of you are missing him. So we're grateful for all that he has given, and we hold you all in grief. Thanks, Lorraine. Sarah, did I see your hand? Yeah. So I got Betsy.
Betsy and who's in hospice, yeah. And her daughter Suzanne and her grandchildren. It's a hard time for all of them.
So Doug's cousin Betsy is in hospice. So prayers for Betsy in this time, this meaningful time of getting ready to let go of this life and embrace the next one, but especially also prayers for Betsy's family as they are in this time of grief and figuring out how to support her. Thanks, Sarah. Heather. Heather is pointing to what we often think of as the loving kindness prayer, where we pray for someone who's close to us, we pray for someone who's further away, and we pray for someone with whom we have conflict. And so Heather is particularly lifting up that we would pray, we would remember that key part of that prayer, praying for people that we feel conflict with or feel conflict toward us. Heather's words were, have hate in their heart. I have to say, I don't really know what's in anybody's heart, but I know the experience feels hateful, traumatic, and damaging, so I certainly can have that in my prayer. And so I think it is so key for us as we are, especially in the next few months, as we are facing lots of trauma around racism, support of GLBTQ siblings, women, that we stay grounded in what we know and what we believe, which is the God of love, and that all people are beloved, and we keep doing everything we can to remind ourselves of that and each other day in and day out. Together, we are so much more powerful in both our prayer and our action than we are alone. So I so appreciate Heather's reminder today that we would hold in prayer those who we might otherwise be tempted to focus with thoughts of anger and judgment. And that doesn't mean we won't also, we will 100% continue to fight for justice and inclusion for all people.
Amen.
Sorry about the sermon.
Sue.
Yeah. I think that's been brought up before. In the last month, my brother had a bad bicycle accident. He was in the hospital, then rehab hospital. He got out, and he's back in the hospital. He threw a pulmonary embolism on his leg. So just, he's been through the ringer. So just.
Was that while you were there?
I never made it there. I tried to fly last week.
Oh.
Planes barely weren't going.
Yes. Oh. So we've been praying for Sue's brother, who on vacation had a terrible bike accident that landed him in rehab and all kinds of recovery. She was supposed to go see him, but planes. And so even though he was on the road to recovery, he's now had a pulmonary embolism, and so back in the hospital. Oh, Sue, prayers for him and for you and for his family as he deals with these health issues and deals with them away from home. Thanks, Sue. Other concerns? Lane? No concerns from Lane. Let us come together in prayer. God, with each breath in and out, we know you are here. With each prayer in and out, we know we are loved. With each prayer in and out, we know we are strong. With each prayer in and out, we know we are full of the light and peace and hope that the world needs. We know we are surrounded by your strength and compassion. We know we are held together by your light and love, and we will live into that each and every day. Amen. We stop going to godly play in grade 3, but that isn't really true, because of all the people who serve as storytellers and greeters, children of all ages at FCC Natick get to experience godly play. So folks in the room, in the last few years, how many of you have experienced godly play at least once as a storyteller or a greeter? Yeah, we got, I actually thought it would be more than that, but we've got some good sprinkling through the room. So at this week's worship team meeting, Rick was talking about the godly play gathering that Amy led last Sunday. In every session, the group takes an offering, just like we do in worship. A basket is passed around the circle, and those who have brought money to support the church's ministry place it in the basket, and then the group prays over it together. I'm sure storytellers do this in all sorts of different ways. But according to Rick, last week, Amy invited everyone in the circle to put something in the basket. It didn't have to be money. It could be a prayer or something they were grateful for, just to each pass the basket with intention. The worship team thought this would be a good practice for all of us. So for folks on site, let's follow that godly play example today. This morning, we will pass our offering plates from person to person, up and down each row. If you have money to put in the plate, place it with intention, maybe thinking about how your gift helps pay for godly play. If you don't have money to put in the plate, please still hold the plate with intention before passing it on. You might picture something you're grateful for, or just offer a simple thank you. Folks at home, you don't need to have an offering plate handed to you in order to participate. Just cup your hands and say thank you with each breath. Let's see how it feels to fully participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering. God of abundance, bless these gifts, but also the gratitude and intention, the hands that all touched these plates, the hands at home that are your hands in the world. May we put to work your love this day and every day. Amen. As we get ready to sing our closing hymn, for those on site, after the postlude, I'm going to head out that door to go re-bless and dedicate our flags. I'm going to do that pre-snacks. So if you'd like to join me for that, feel free, but no pressure. Again, after the postlude, I'm just going to head right out that door. Let us sing Called as Partners in Christ's Service. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace in your going out and your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before God in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Go in peace. Amen.